Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's 10 minutes after 5 o'clock. Jordana Paul, Dan Cook at the helm. Jared Goyette in studio because are we on Facebook Live, Jared? We're going to be very soon. So you'll get to see us on Facebook and you'll get to see video of our next segment online.
Get to see the back of my head.
And you'll get to see the back of Paul's head. It's very lovely. Because in studio with us is State Senator Susan Kent from Woodbury. And welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And the reason we're talking to Senator Kent is because she has proposed a bill that would give Minnesota small business owners the option to give or maybe make them, we're going to ask her, paid family leave for medical. This is if you have a baby. This is if you adopt a baby. This is if you have an illness or an injury, if you have an elderly adult. And we started the conversation in the 3 o'clock hour. I was telling the senator about this in the green room. And people were texting in about whether or not they had leave. And of course, if you're born before the 80s, really, you didn't have a lot of leave. And one of my favorite stories on the text line, Paul, and we were looking at this. Maternity leave is a piece of cake now. Back in 1958, this woman texts in, my boss was horribly angry when I said I needed to use my entire 1 week paid vacation to have my baby. She got revenge by choosing me to go up and down the stairs to other departments when I was 8 months along.
Ouch.
And heavy. So, of course, I felt so bad for this woman who's texting in. So I wrote, that's horrible. I hope karma came for her. So she texted back. This story's a little morbid. It's a little macabre. So if you're easily offended, just earmuffs for a minute. She goes, yes, it did. She always went to work when sick and for years harassed employees for staying home when they were sick. She got the same flu Jim Henson died of, and she died in the hospital at age 57, which is a horrible story. Ugh. We don't want anybody to die, but it was clearly a mean boss who was not sensitive to her employees when they were sick or pregnant.
Senator, how do big companies do such a better job than small companies in Minnesota, really anywhere in the nation? Why are smaller companies at a disadvantage when it comes to maternity leave, paternity leave?
So if you think about companies and they have a big accounting department and one of their employees needs to take some time off for a newborn baby or an illness or something, there's some other people in that accounting department who can kind of fill in and cover for them, or they can spread it out and hire somebody on a temporary basis or do some additional overtime. If you're a small shop and you have one accountant and that accountant goes out, that's a little more complicated mm-hmm. for that business owner. And I say this as somebody who's worked in big companies, small companies, been a small business owner myself, and been independent. And so it's just a matter of math. It's a lot easier for big companies to absorb some of these things. And for a small company, they have to make the decision either they're not going to offer the benefits or they're going to cover them anyway, which comes at a real cost. We had a business owner testify yesterday about how she ended up missing a payment of her own house payment because she was paying for her employee who had a fall and was injured and needed to take 6 weeks off to heal.
I want to know a bit more about the nuts and bolts of the bill that you've proposed. So it's my understanding small business owners pay in. It's like an insurance policy. Let's say they pay $80 to $90 per employee per year. Is that right?
So the way it works is that everybody pays in a little. Everybody benefits, right?
Okay.
When they need it. And so if the average would be based on sort of average wages, because it does adjust a little bit, less than $2 a week per employee and per employer.
Okay. So they pay in. Let's say this starts next year and they start paying in. Let's say one of their employees has to give birth next year. Do they get to take money out of this pool right away?
So I don't have the exact dates in front of me, but in concept, the way this would work is if we pass this year, we would get this thing started and seeded, and then people would start paying in. And if I recall correctly, it's about a year that people would be able to start taking the benefits.
Is there any other money added in? Does state government add any money in to support the fund?
When we need to get this is the weedy conversation. Okay. It's called a fiscal note at the Capitol. We need to get the actual estimates based on this bill. But when we did this bill before, there will be startup costs initially, but that's kind of a one-time thing. I like to point out we have a surplus right now that would be really well suited to this kind of startup because a lot of it's one-time money. And then it becomes pretty self-sustaining over time.
Right. Didn't we see a text? Somebody said in Sweden they get, 17 weeks?
17 months,
Paul. 17 months?
17 months, yes. Year and a half.
17 months?
Yes.
So, granted, I mean, we're probably not going to go that far, but what can we learn from other countries, Senator, who do seem to invest in human capital and give people the leeway they need when it comes to whether it's a birth or a family emergency? I mean, why is that just good policy?
It's good policy, and we don't even have to look outside of the United States because we now have 7 states in the country who have done this already and are finding great success with it.
For small businesses, you mean?
And all businesses.
All businesses.
It's all businesses. And I will say, just for clarification, if a business already has a policy that meets these standards, they can opt out. There's a way that's built into the bill. So somebody can do that. That is an option. But what everybody has learned is, for one thing, and I want to put it as a little bit of context. You guys have probably talked about this at some point. We're facing such a worker shortage in Minnesota that 2022, I think the numbers were going to be short 230,000 workers. That's a huge number, right? I live in Woodbury, the 8th largest city in the state, and we're at about 70 times 3, right?
Wow.
That's a lot of people. So when women or anybody has to leave the workforce because of a baby or because of illness or because of caregiving for their parents or something, they often don't come back. So it's a good incentive from the economy to keep people there. It's good for business because turnover is really expensive. Mm-hmm. If you lose one of these people and you have to hire somebody to
retrain them,
mm-hmm. exactly, that's mm-hmm. very expensive. And that's why big companies are already doing this on their own. They know it's good business. I mean, I'm sure they want to be nice and all, but ultimately they're doing it because it's a good business choice. But small and medium-sized business owners are at a real competitive disadvantage there.
When you say small and medium, what size? Is it 50 employees, 25?
It really depends. I mean, this is available for everybody. Mm-hmm. And where you see the changes in some of the benefits and the fees, it depends on the person's salary. So if you make a smaller wage, you get more of your benefit, your wages back in benefits, up to 90%.
Oh, wow.
But if you make a little more money, that percentage goes down to 55%.
Because you have a little bit of a cushion.
Exactly. Okay. And we're trying to make the math work so that this is self-sustaining. And if you're really lucky and make a $500,000 a year or something, it caps. You're not getting 55% of that.
We're talking with Minnesota State Senator Susan Kent about family leave and what we can do, especially for smaller businesses statewide, to offer up the family leave that allows them to retain people, mm-hmm. keep good people. Are you getting bipartisan support as you poke around? It would seem that Republicans and DFL members alike have the same challenges and conflicts, right?
The way I'm a stickler for detail, so I'm going to say that we're getting good bipartisan interest. There is a real recognition that this is a problem. It's a real problem for businesses. It's a real problem for families. It's good for kids that they have more bonding time with their parents. This helps with the childcare crunch around our state. If both parents can take 12 weeks, that's the first year of that expensive, complicated infant life.
12 or 6?
12 per parent.
Good for you.
They can do that, right?
Okay.
Elder care. We've talked so much about the challenges with elder care. And with this workforce shortage, it's really going to fall on a lot of us. I mean, I've just been through it. I lost my dad a year ago after a lengthy illness, and now my mom is having health issues. I'm totally in that sandwich generation. This stuff is complicated for so many of us. And as a young baby boomer, we know there's more and more of it.
Senator, one of our listeners brought up the potential for abuse. I mean, what do you say to people who and everybody, no matter how you set up the rules, people try to get around the rules and look for shortcuts. And I mean, how do you prevent abuse in this system?
That is a great question. And the short answer is this is modeled after our existing already kind of a model unemployment insurance policy and process. And so what happens is you have to validate your claim. So if you are going to request medical leave because of an injury or an illness, you'll need a doctor's note to verify it. And you're not necessarily going to get 12 weeks if you don't need it. Like the small business owner I was telling you about who had the woman who had an injury, she just needed 6 weeks. That's
right.
So that's what she'd get. And so there are a lot of checks because it has to be a qualifying event, and there are checks in making sure that it's
trust
legitimate.
But verify.
Of course.
Okay.
For those of you who just jumped in, we're speaking with State Senator Susan Kent from Woodbury. She has proposed a bill where small businesses would pay in to a pool of money that would then be used for paid medical leave for family, for illness, for injury, for a baby, for adoption, for small business owners who don't have the ability, like large businesses, to offer paid leave to their employees while still making a profit. So, yes, the businesses would pay in. That would become self-sustaining, but there is a little seed money that is needed and probably government-funded, or are there other sources of funding for this?
It's really going to be self-sustaining, and employees pay in as well.
Okay.
And research showed that employees are perfectly happy to pay up to like 1% of their income
for sure
to get this benefit. And this one's way less than that. It's like 0.3%.
Okay.
And it's valid. I mean, we hope large businesses will take advantage of it as well, because then they, first of all, they get out of the administering of all these benefits business.
Mm-hmm.
They can just hand it over, and mm-hmm. it's one, you know, big, consistent program. And then, and a lot of women really relate to this. You have a friend who has a job and she's got one set of benefits, so that's what she did for maternity leave. And then your sister's got another thing, and then it's your turn and you're like, I don't know what my leave is. I've never really given it much thought. All of these things become much more consistent and understandable, and people know what they're dealing with. And one other really great point that I would make, not only do you retain good people, it helps with recruiting people, and that's one of the real places where smaller and medium-sized businesses are at a disadvantage, because big businesses, if you're Target, for example, you can do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But say you're a local independent retailer, you can't make that same offer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at a really qualified person to come work for you, maybe that's a real decision, a deal breaker for them, is that they have to go to the bigger company rather than the smaller one.
State Senator Susan Kent, thank you so much for coming in studio.
Thank you.
Thanks for proposing this bill and looking out for fellow Minnesotans.
Yeah, that was illuminating. Good luck with your bill.
Thank you. I look forward to these discussions because people are very interested, and the more they learn, the more they realize it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. You got some good feedback on the text line, some questions we'll try to get to.
Great.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
It's also 5:22. Will we get back? Will you give us a quick update on the weather?
Can I take a weather leave
of absence next week? Got to do your job.
I could better examine the meteorological conditions from Naples.
Oh, is that how that
or
works?
Or Scottsdale.
How about I just kick you in the shin and you take an injury leave?
As long as it's in the shin, that's fine. Yeah, we'll be back to update you on what's going to be a challenging 8 days weather-wise when we get back on CCO.
Well, even I'm getting tired of hearing about the cold, but I know people are just in their car and they're thinking, Paul, how cold is it going to get?
Do you want to censor this weather forecast?
No, I'll just tune you out.
Should we edit it?
I'll get on my Instagram or something.
I feel like I'm home. Yes, honey. Thank you. Honey, I'm speaking. My lips are moving. It's going to be interesting. The coolest celebration on Earth kicks off in St. Paul tomorrow. Of course, the St. Paul Winter Carnival. And St. Paul's weather policy says that events can go on as scheduled unless the wind chill dips to 25 below zero or colder. And we are going to be close to that mark by tomorrow evening. The parade that kicks off tomorrow evening,
wow,
6 o'clock.
That's
so
cold,
it's going to be touch and go. Again, if you're dressed properly, you're going to get through it. But the risk of frostbite and hypothermia, that gradual drop in body temperature, which can prove fatal if you don't catch it, it's insidious,
mm-hmm,
because people don't know that their body temperature is falling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to sleep, and sometimes they don't wake up. So my advice would be check in on older friends, family members, mm-hmm, neighbors, strangers. Make sure that their homes are staying warm enough. Tomorrow, the problem is going to be the wind. Gusting to 30 in the metro, maybe 50-mile-an-hour gusts in western Minnesota. Open ground, farmland, that snow whips around. Blizzard warning with blue sky overhead.
Mm-hmm.
That always freaks people out. But, yeah, it's a function of whipping up the snow that's already on the ground,
mm-hmm,
and creating whiteout conditions. So we've got that to look forward to tomorrow. And then relatively quiet Friday, Saturday, most of Sunday. The mother load of cold air comes down next week. And the colder the air, usually the stronger the clipper that precedes the Arctic air. And this looks like a beefy Alberta clipper. Most clippers come through a little bit of wind, a little bit of snow, maybe a coating. Okay. This is going to be a formidable clipper. And we've had a few model runs in a row now, printing out 3 to 6 inches in that range, give or take a foot, Sunday night into Monday morning. Mm-hmm. So I think we might actually get some snow, even in the Twin Cities. And Monday could be a real interesting day in terms of getting around. And then the cold settles in behind that clipper. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we stay below zero, I think, each day. With nighttime lows 15, 17, 18 below. But places like St. Cloud, easily 30 below air temp. And I wouldn't be shocked to see a 40 below up north, which is actually a good thing. It kills off some of these pine beetles. Some of these pests don't get killed off unless it gets down to 40 below.
Come on now.
No, up Boundary Waters, northern Minnesota, these beetles, which chomp away unless it gets cold. So it's actually a good thing. You may not think it's a good thing next week, but we want to keep our Northwoods healthy. We want pine trees to be growing up there and to be healthy. And so killing off these beetles, it's actually a silver lining to the cold weather.
If you say so.
And then it's going to warm up. By the first few days of February, the model's back in the 20s. I think some 30s by the second week of February. So it's not going to get stuck. We're not going to have perpetually polar air week after week, month after month, like we did 5 years ago. 2014 comes to mind when weather systems stalled, and it was miserable for week after week. I don't see that, Jor. Next week is going to be rough, character building, but then we come out of it.
People say on the text line, bring it. I deliver pizza in downtown Minneapolis. The colder, the better.
Really?
I guess
people
that,
order more pizza.
I guess
that makes sense.
To go out.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
One time where I'd always been of the mind that on a really snowy day or really cold day, I didn't want to make these poor pizza delivery drivers go out, right? So I wouldn't necessarily call and order a pizza. And we talked about that in the air one day and got a flood of phone calls and text messages from delivery drivers going, no, call us.
It's good.
Because they get huge tips on those days.
I never thought of that either.
I just stopped feeling guilty about it is what I stopped doing.
I would give them a big tip, too, thinking how they had to drive through all the snow. And
Dan Cook, metaphysical question for you.
Because, you know, who else would you ask a metaphysical question?
Your IQ is above average.
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
Can you feel colder than numb? In other words, let me phrase it a different way. If it's 5-10 below, your extremities will be numb. So can you really feel the difference between 5 below and 20 below?
I'm going to answer that in the words of my ninth grade gym teacher, Craig Hansen. Longtime football coach at Osseo High School and at Maple Grove High School, who would say, ladies and gentlemen, cold is merely a state of mind.
Oh, God.
Now, mind you, he would say this as we were outside in cold weather wearing gym shorts and T-shirts while he had a hat and mittens and gloves and a scarf and a jacket on.
That's right.
But he insisted that cold is merely a state of mind.
State of mind.
If you didn't think cold, you wouldn't be cold.
Is he still alive, or did he freeze to death?
Very much still alive.
Yeah?
Very much still alive. Just put into the Maple Grove High School Hall of Fame this past year. Wonderful individual. I owe him a lot.
Is he still torturing children, or has that
stopped? I think he's retired from
that. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. Now they can keep all their toes. And
he also insisted
fingers.
Anytime anybody asked him how old he was that he was 18. Okay. So, you know, you got to take that into account.
It's a different metaphysical problem.
Yeah. Numb and number.
Okay,
numb and
so
number.
Does it get to a point where you don't feel the cold anymore, that -5 is just like -25?
I don't think it feels a lot different, but I think you can get into trouble faster. Even though you may not be able to sense the difference, I do think that if it's 20, 25 below, your body is going to cool down even faster. Your core temperature, your body temperature will chill down faster than if it's 0 or -5. Even though it may not feel any different, you're numb.
Well, because you're already passed out.
Well, yeah. Yeah, at that point you see the bright white light.
Exactly, going towards
Light. Take me now, Lord.
Please let me be done with this.
Please.
Please, God.
Heaven is warmer.
It's 5:32. Oh, boy. Yes, you can come give your speech. I'm going to invite you. No, I'm taking back my invitation, and you may not come. I really want to come, but fine, I'm going to find another place to come. This is the kind of bickering that is currently going on Capitol Hill. It is silly. It is infantile. It is our government, folks. The latest with the State of the Union after the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome, welcome. It's 5:37. Paul Giordano, Dan Cook at the helm.
Na na ni na na.
I know. I'm going to take this house and I'm going to go home and you don't get to make your speech here.
You kids, if I have to come back there.
I'm going to make my speech and I don't care if it's your house. And it's seriously, it's like when the mean girl in fourth grade did not invite you to her party. But you didn't really want to go to her party anyway because you didn't really like the mean girl in fourth grade. But everybody else got invited to that party. So you felt like you needed to be included. So you kind of wanted to go. But then she said, absolutely not. So then you kind of threw your own party. So you didn't feel like such a loser. Yes, I'm talking about our government.
The heck with Nancy Pelosi. I want to hear more about this mean girl in your life and why you're so troubled, Giordana.
So on January 3rd, the invitation was sent to the president to make the State of the Union speech in the House chamber. On January 16th, Ms. Pelosi then put out a statement to the president and said, you know what? It's probably not a great idea if you do the State of the Union in the House because the government is shut down and you probably shouldn't. And the president had no plans to not come to the House chamber. But the fact is, the Speaker of the House and the Senate have to issue
a resolution,
a formal invitation,
right,
via resolution to him.
So,
and they're not doing it.
They're not doing it. Earlier today, the president sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi telling her he planned to deliver his State of the Union address in Congress as originally scheduled next Tuesday, in spite of her earlier warnings of security concerns.
Yeah, that security. That was just a beard. Here's what President Trump had to say today about the State of the Union.
And it's a disgrace. Just so you know, she uses on the basis of the shutdown, but when she asked me to make the address, formally in writing, most of you have a copy of the letter. When she asked me to make the address, she did it during the shutdown, well into the shutdown, by a couple of weeks. So the shutdown was going on. Now she's blaming the shutdown. So if it was because of the shutdown, why do you ask that the address be made? And she asked that the address be made during the shutdown. And now she's blaming the shutdown. She also knew, because she went to our people and she asked, would it be a security problem? She knew it wasn't a security problem. She blamed security, but she knew it wasn't a security problem. And she knew that loud and clear. And she went to the people. She asked, they said, we have no problem whatsoever. I just got back from Iraq. I was very safe in Iraq, and I felt very safe. We had great, great security. If we can handle Iraq, we can handle the middle of Washington in a very, very spectacular building and a beautiful room that we should be in, and that's where it's been for a very long time. So it's a sad thing for our country. We'll do something in the alternative. We'll be talking to you about that at a later date.
She didn't disinvite you because of security. She disinvited you because she doesn't like you. That's just the fact.
You think that's it?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
They don't like each other?
Pretty sure. It's a poll that was done, by the way, a CBS News poll done from January 18th to January 21st. People were asked, Donald Trump is scheduled to give his State of the Union address at the end of the month. Do you think the president should give the speech if the government is shut down, or should he postpone it until the government is reopened? The results, I'm sure, will shock you. 48% said yes, he should give the State of the Union. 48% said no, he should postpone. And 4% were unsure.
4% had no idea where they were.
That's
right. Yeah, we identify.
We're so divided.
Here's another poll result that surprised me. This is from Politico and Morning Consult. 43% of American voters do support a border wall. 43%. But 7% of voters said they support dedicating funding to a border wall if it's the only way to end the government shutdown. So that linkage between reopening the federal government and securing the financing for the wall, most Americans don't like that setup. So significant number of people want the wall, but maybe not under these circumstances with 800,000 people not getting paid. And
isn't that where we get in the weeds? Because I think all of us would agree we need, well, we need better border security. We do. And part of that is probably steel slats, wall, fencing, whatever you want to call it. You can call it a wall. That's fine. So eventually it's going to happen. That's going to get built as border security increases. But the fact that they don't want to give it to him now is just optics. And it's a game. And real people are suffering when it's just a game. And I am in no way saying that the Democrats should cave. I'm in no way saying that Nancy Pelosi should cave. But you got to milk it. You got to get a path to citizenship for these dreamers. You got to get some kind of a path to citizenship to get current illegal aliens paying taxes. You got to get everything you want, if this is all about optics for him, to say he got a wall out of the deal. And then you need to take your ego and throw it in the trash and do what's best for the American people.
How can both the president and Nancy Pelosi save face and give them enough where they go back to their constituents right. and say, hey, look, I didn't cave. We didn't get everything we wanted, but we got enough to pass the smell test, mm-hmm. the red face test. But again, I think the Democrats, many of them believe that they don't want the president holding the government hostage.
Well, that's true.
That
nobody does.
That if we give in on this, that the president may do it again for another reason 6 months from now or 8 months from now. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we can't give in to that. And so it's a function of we need to get the government reopened, and then we can engage on border security.
But then he loses everything.
Well, he loses leverage.
He loses face. He loses the wall. He loses everything. You can't do that. It has to be. That's a negotiation. When somebody who wrote The Art of the Deal should know this. Both people have to feel like they got something out of the deal.
Right.
Something. Not everybody's going to be 100% winner in this. Trust me. And the 100% losers are the American people. But they both have to give a little. It's just a matter of what you want to give.
But more Americans, from what I understand, are blaming the GOP than blaming Democrats.
And that's on the
for
president.
For the federal shutdown.
He said he would own the shutdown. Because he said he would own it. You can't blame people for listening to him.
Where's Mitch McConnell? Where's Mitch McConnell in all this? Why isn't anybody else speaking up? I mean, it just, we're in this morass.
Say it again, Dan. I'm sorry.
Well, you asked where Mitch McConnell is. He's going to be on the Senate floor tomorrow introducing a bill that includes the president's compromise, as I do air quotes.
Is that the compromise that only gives the dreamers the path for 3 years?
Right, exactly.
So, that's not a compromise.
But I mean, that's you ask where he is, that's where he is. He's going to be introducing that bill tomorrow. Chuck Schumer is going to introduce mm-hmm. the bill that came over from the House that has no wall funding. Neither of those things are going to get passed. And we're going to be right back where we are, but it's all the political theater that has to happen.
And that's so discouraging because we're now smarter than them. We're so hip to their game. The American people are tired of the whole thing. They would like actual solutions. And this is a real opportunity, in my opinion, for anybody who comes to the table with an actual bill that would be amenable to both sides. Here's your wall or your slats or your whatever you want to call it. Here's your thing.
Your security.
Right.
Border security. And everybody agrees we need border security.
Absolutely.
I think nearly everybody agrees, right?
Absolutely everybody agrees. But whatever the Democrats want, you know, amnesty for the dreamers, a path for the dreamers, whatever it is, a path for those currently here illegally. I mean, you got to ask for the moon at this point when you're going for it, because if he gets his wall, once he sees that's in sight, I think he's going to be like, yep, okay, great, no problem. I really do, because he is only focused on the wall. So once he gets his wall, you can have almost whatever you want, because he hasn't thought this through.
Because that's what he promised his constituents.
Right. So you can have it. It's like, you can see the prize. So give him whatever they want to get.
And he wants, next year when he's running for re-election, he wants to be able to tell his his audience, I delivered.
Fine. You can have your wall. Know? But the Democrats need to ask and ask big if they're smart and get their egos out of the way about giving him that bone and letting him use it in the 2020 election. Whatever. The Americans know the truth. We want the government open. We're reasonable people. We're willing to see some middle ground
And there
here.
Needs to be border security.
Eventually, some sort of wall or barrier would be built
Where
anyway.
Where appropriate, right.
Of course it would. That's just smart. If you want to pretend you owned it and it's all because of you, that's fine. the Democrats should give it to him because this is done. 33 days. It's time. 33 days. It really is time. Texters are saying, so who's holding who hostage? Look, everybody's at fault here. Everybody is at fault here. But it's time that somebody needs to come with a reasonable plan because the two plans that we're going to see tomorrow, neither of which are going to pass, are not even close to reasonable, and everybody knows it. Don't fool us. We're not idiots. Don't try to pull the wool over and say, oh, we came. We came. And you guys are the ones who said no. Don't do that. We're smarter than that. And for people who think it's just one side to blame, oh, the Democrats are to blame. Oh, Trump is to blame. No, 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 no. There's plenty of blame to go around.
This is already, and I may be wrong on this, but I think we're already in the 2020 reelection campaign of President Trump.
Right. That's why he wants his wall to say that he
can get it. But that's why Pelosi is doing everything and anything in her power not to give him that win.
At some point, you got to look in the mirror and say what's best for the American people. It's that person that I want leading our country, not the one who can hold his breath or her breath the longest. That's me. That's me. That's how I feel about it. Let's see. What else did the text say? Let's see.
Reopen the government, then negotiate the wall. But then the president loses leverage, right? Whatever leverage he still has, if he gives in. And those on the hard right, you know, the Sean Hannitys of the world, the Ann Coulters will accuse him of amnesty, providing amnesty.
And he needs to get over that because, I mean, really, Ann Coulter, really caving to what Ann Coulter says. His advisors need to say to him, like, who cares about her? She's not the president of the United States.
Right.
She's not an elected official. Like, get over what somebody bullies you into on Twitter. Like, see, that's where the stupidity comes in. The American people see through that. We see you. We get it. We can see that the emperor has no clothes. Just make a deal so actual people can get their paychecks.
I think the speaker is going to have to blink at some point. I'm not sure the president is going to blink. I mean, I'd be amazed, pleasantly surprised. Jor, it's 5:49, and that means it's Wixon Jewelers time. If you haven't been to Wixon, you don't know what you're missing. Stop by today and experience the Wixon difference for yourself. The text line has lit up.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's okay. We always want to hear your thoughts.
One of our listeners says, yes, both sides are to blame, and we need that's to true. Open government. But if the Democrats give Trump the wall, he will always hold citizens hostage when he wants something. As a special education teacher that deals with bullies, I have seen this proven over and over. Another person says, Paul, Nancy is not going to blink to ego. Fasten your belt. You break it, you own it.
I get it. And I understand the teacher here. I understand. I had three toddlers. I get it. I understand that behavior. But we're talking about people's lives here. We're talking about second paychecks missed. We're talking about their futures, their security, their medicine, the food on their table. If he does it again and holds the government hostage again, you know, the American people will know what they're dealing with. And I think that, not that they don't already know what they're dealing with, but I do think that it will have even further negative effects. I really do.
Do you think Speaker Pelosi should be the person who, in essence, blinks and say, okay, full amnesty for all illegals in the country? I mean, imagine.
That's what she should ask for.
Right,
like she's not going to get
not
it.
Not that she's going to get it, but ask for the sun and the moon.
Correct.
And
she should ask full amnesty for all of the illegal people actually in the country now, and path to citizenship, of course, for the Dreamers or instant citizenship. Whatever she asks for, it can't be too much because first of all, he's going to say no. But once he sees a path to the money for the wall, he is going to give them a lot of what they ask for.
But Trump supporters don't want that full amnesty, many of them.
He sees his wall in sight. They're gonna get more than they probably expect. They need to negotiate wisely. I'm no expert, but I've dealt with three toddlers. So if they get the lollipop, you can get them in bed or into the bath. You know, I mean, it's the carrot and the stick. Then you just have the, you know, Nancy should know what she's dealing with here and ask for the moon. and then walk it back from them, and then accept a path to citizenship for the Dreamers and a path for illegal immigrants currently here. Something. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to walk it back a little bit, but there's going to eventually be a wall. Someone's going to build more border security. And if he gets anything built, he can call it his wall. Great. Satisfy the base. And the Democrats get more than they would have gotten before this fiasco.
One of our more creative listeners yesterday said, why don't we have corporate America pay for the wall and sponsor it? And they could have their branding up there. They could have billboards.
Would you want your branding on a symbol of exclusionary xenophobism? Come on. Really?
Okay, it's
Target. Welcome to the wall. Come to Target. Are you kidding me? If I was a business owner, I would not want to be associated with that.
This section of the wall brought to you by Walmart.
But that could work. You know, that's just me. I guarantee there's plenty of business owners out there that are all in favor of the wall that say, yeah, I helped build it. I'm keeping them out. And I want to be on board with that. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that would want
that. Got to be a creative way.
Yeah. Right. Your texts are fascinating. I'm sorry we are out of time. We'll see you tomorrow at 3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.